It is so awesome to be spending this evening with you. Just before the break, I told you guys that I am so, so, so excited. Well, firstly, I'm excited about the fact that I get the opportunity on radio, on a national radio station from Gauteng to the Cape, firstly, just to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. I think that is very important to me. Secondly, I get the awesome privilege of introducing you guys to people from all around the world that has the same passion as I have, and that is a passion for Jesus Christ. Not for our own agendas or for politics or for dogma from churches, but for Jesus Christ. And tonight is going to be nothing different. So just before we go any further, please go to Facebook right now, www.radiopulpit.co.za. You can go there as well and go check out. We are on Facebook right now. You can see the beautiful faces of these two hunks of men staring through the screen at you. Or alternatively, go to our WhatsApp channels, 0826572729, and you can ask your questions. Then I'll make sure that our guest gets them and respond to it. I am so excited. Before the break, I told you of this. It's technically an international motivational speaker, but I'd like to quickly just read you this amazing resume. So you just sit on the other side in the other country and just be patient. Be ready.
Nee, ek is nie ready nie. Ready is my oom. Ek is so braai.
Alright, so there we go. Listen to this. Mayim Subrayan is a writer, a speaker, a life coach to businesses and to sports teams, speaking regularly at schools and at churches. He was born in Durban, South Africa, and immigrated to New Zealand. In New Zealand, he has assisted some of the All Blacks and the Blues rugby players. Since 2012, he resided in Pretoria and has written books for Springboks, Peerspies, Yanni De Beer, SA footballers, Darren Buckley, and of course All Blacks and Olympic medalist Chad Luklo. He has successfully worked with professional Super Rugby teams like the Lions and the Southern Kings, and the pro cricket teams, the Warriors and the Dolphins. Football, AmaZulu and AmaTix, I'm disappointed, I don't see Pirates anywhere. Nevertheless, and various Olympic athletes. For more details, please go visit his site, www.mayansubrayan. You can also go to my personal pages, and all of his details will be there on my page. Brother from another mother, Mayan, how are you, my buddy?
Oh, fantastic. Good to be on air with you, Dwayne. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. So, yeah. Fantastic.
So this is really extending the borders of what Radio Pulpit's slogan is, because we are from Gauteng all the way to the Cape. And now I can literally say from Gauteng to the Cape all the way to Australia. Should I talk with an accent, mate?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, we're actually down under. So yeah, you're really down under.
Maar kan jy glo hierdie man kan ook Afrikaans praat?
Well, ek is op pad hemel toe, so ek moet die hemelse taal gebruik, you know what I mean?
Die hemelse taal.
And all,
eh, man. Okay, in elk geval, there's actually, I'm not sure if we're gonna get through this, through everything that there is to discuss in an hour. I'm not sure. There's so much that I can actually touch base with you from your personal journey, how you ended up in New Zealand and now Australia. There is dynamics regarding your book that we want to chat about. There's dynamics that I will have to have it to be continued. There's dynamics about your professional sports career and the teams that you've worked with, especially the time with the Lions when they were down and out and how you were involved there. Today is all of that wrapped into one, and there's a South African tour coming up. Very shortly, we'll be seeing you in South Africa.
That's right, yeah. I'm going to be there on the 8th of September and flying out on the 21st of September. Another quick visit in and out. Hoping to launch my new Afrikaans book, Van Burgersmark tot Burgerskap, Die Sukkona Identiteit. So hoping to launch that there and get that going, yeah.
Why in Afrikaans?
Well, the thing is, Dwayne, the title doesn't make sense in English. Burgersmark tot Burgerskap. Because, you know, a lot of people that know my getuienis, my testimony, know that, you know, my first job in New Zealand was working in Burger King. In South Africa, I was a financial advisor, a broker, had my own business, had my own house. I had a house on the beach in Durban. Drove around in a lovely car, people working for me, and get to New Zealand, and I lost my business in South Africa. First job was cleaning floors and toilets in Burger King. And interestingly, you know, in June this year, I graduated in Auckland with my master's, and I went back and I was speaking at the Afrikaans church there in Auckland. It was a mana on bait. And I was sharing my testimony and encouraging the South Africans there that, you know, yes, you know, we may not have the best of histories, but we hold on to the good stuff. And the good stuff is, you know, our relationship with God, the fact that we could go to church, we could read the Bible. And I said, don't lose that when you go to a new country, because it's so often the case when South Africans, you know, go to a new country like New Zealand or Australia, you know, they want to forget about the past. They want to forget about South Africa. And yeah, like I said, forget the bad things, but the good things are, you know, Jesus Christ, the Bible. I said, don't forget that mana. And I said, when we try to ming and fit in to the culture of the Kiwis or the Australians, don't lose our identity in Christ. And I said to them, I had to learn about my identity. In Burger King was ek het vloere skoon gemaak, toilette skoon gemaak, and in Burger King daar ek het geleer van my burgerskap, that my burgerskap is in die hemel. And then when I said that, I turned to the Dominie. I said, hey Dominie Danny, I've got the title for my next Afrikaans book, Van Burger King tot Burgerskap. And the challenge is obviously, you know, Burger King is a registered trademark. So we decided to change the title to Van Burgers Mark tot Burgerskap. Because that's the revelation that God gave me in New Zealand. When I was down and out, lost my business, financially broke, you know, going there, not liking Afrikaans, not liking rugby, and supporting any team that the Springboks played against. In fact, I wouldn't even wear the Springbok jumper with the Springbok logo back then, even though I was a Christian. And that's where God had to teach me, sitting on a marae in New Zealand, a Maori community house. The Maori lecturer asked us to bring a greeting in our mother tongue. And I said, hey, bro, ek praat nie enige Indier taal nie. I don't speak Indian. And he said, no, but I know you speak Afrikaans. And I said, yeah, but, you know, Afrikaans, we only spoke at school, and it's an evil language. And he didn't leave it there, Dwayne. He went, he got a Bible, he opened up the Bible, and he read the verse that said, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess. And, you know, immediately, it was like a punch from Mike Tyson, I think.
Sure.
God really opened up my heart to realize that the fault wasn't me.
Mm.
I was holding on to something that was wrong. I was holding on to a verkeerde houding, a wrong attitude. And at that time, you know, the word of God broke through that. And for the first time in my life, I spoke Afrikaans met vrede and vreugde, real joy in my heart. And guess what sport the boys were playing in that camp in Auckland, New Zealand? Yeah, for the first time I passed the rugby ball. And, you know, Dwayne, is it coincidental after that, within a year, God brings former All Black Vainga Tui Gamala, Inga the Winger, Michael Jones, Ironi Clark, Usana is playing in the All Blacks, number 11, Caleb Clark, and, you know, DJ Forbes, and Ma Nonu, and all these guys. And, you know, I became friends with them. I began to learn about rugby from them. And every time I met a South African in New Zealand, I spoke to them in Afrikaans. I ended up speaking more Afrikaans in New Zealand than I did in South Africa, because I'm born in Durban. You don't speak Afrikaans in Durban. But that's when it changed, Dwayne. And this book, Van Burgers Mark tot Burgerskap, is reminding people that, you know, yeah, you know, I can, because I grew up confused in South Africa. You know, am I Indian? Am I South African? Because, you know, during apartheid, I wasn't regarded as an equal citizen in South Africa. So I couldn't say I was South African, but I couldn't say I was Indian either, because I couldn't speak any Indian languages. I had never been to India. And when I became a Christian, you know, I didn't want to be a Christian, because in my mind, why become a Christian when the apartheid government said they were Christians? So, I didn't like Christianity. I didn't like rugby. I didn't like Afrikaans. And listen to me now. I'm a pastor. Ek is a pastoor. Ek preek in Afrikaans. Ek is betrokken met rugby. En jy weet, die Here het die deure oopgemaak vir my in rugby. So that's the God that we serve. Eh? And it all happened in New Zealand. And I joke and I say, from all the countries in the world God sent me, He sent me to the country where the religion of the land was rugby. And it was in New Zealand that I had to learn that, yes, you know, I appreciate the fact, because I was asked a question when I wrote my book on my story of becoming a Christian from a Hindu called Born a Hindu, Die a Hindu. I was asked a question. This is my journey there. I was asked a question. You know, you are a fourth generation Indian. You are a South African. And you're also now a New Zealand citizen. Which citizenship do you hold to? And that's when I said to them, I said, you know what? Yes, you know, I am a fourth generation Indian. I'm born in South Africa and I'm a New Zealand citizen. But my citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. And, you know, Dwayne, if you've got the new book title there, I don't have it with me, but you've got the cover. You can put that up later if you wanted to. You notice that there's three flags that we put up. The South African flag, the New Zealand flag, and the flag of India.
That makes sense now.
Yeah. But what we did was we highlighted the cross that's in the New Zealand flag to highlight that my citizenship is in heaven. And that's the message of the book, Dwayne, because even, you know, as a life coach and you know as well, one of the biggest challenges facing the world today is who am I? The English version of the book will be Who Am I? Because I don't think calling the book From Burger's Mark to Burger's Cup will make sense in English. But the English title is called Who Am I? And that's where I was in the year 1994, searching for answers. I thought I found the answers in the change of government at the time. You know, I put my heart and passion into canvassing for the new government at the time and went around and really felt that, you know, the answers to the problems and the solutions to all the problems we had was in the new government and everything. And I put my heart and soul into it. And then after a while, you know, I became disappointed because the Bible says that, you know, if we put our trust in man, man will always fail us. But it was at that time that I was also searching for answers spiritually. I tried finding it in the religion of my birth, Hinduism, and I just couldn't find it because, you know, Hinduism teaches a principle called karma. And what does karma say? Karma says you do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. But the reality of life is that bad things happen to good people. And there I was being held up at gunpoint in Durban before going to New Zealand. And thank God that I was a Christian at the time, because if I was not a Christian, then I'd have to believe that I did something wrong. And through that experience, God led me to go to New Zealand, where in New Zealand, I believe I stepped into my calling as an Afrikaans sprekende rugby ondersteuner. share and the message that I speak is one of finding your identity in Christ first. Because when you find your identity in Christ, when you are comfortable in your own skin, then you are comfortable wherever you are doing.
Mm. Sure. That's actually very powerful. So the flags make sense on the cover of the book. You guys can go to Facebook right now, and I'm going to post it there. The name makes sense. Van Burgersmark tot Burgerskap, die soeke na identiteit. Come on, dude. You just spoke about flags and burgers. Die regte curry cup with a bunny trail. What's that all about?
You know, when I started at the Lions, I made a joke with the boys. And I said this when I got the chance to speak at the Daniel conference at the Moreletta Church. And I said to the guys, hey, I'm back in South Africa to make a positive difference. And I said, one thing I want to change is the lie of calling the curry cup the curry cup. I said, hoeveel Indiër mense speel in die curry beker? You know, how many Indians play in the curry cup? I said, it's a lie. The curry belongs to my people. Curry belongs to my Indian people. So you guys need to change the name of the curry cup to a name that best suits the people that play there. I said, so you need to change it to at least the Biltong cup or the Poiki cup or the Burvos cup, you know? And that's the joke that I shared. And, you know, the boys at the Lions, they speak about it and they say, you know, it was tough times being relegated from Super Rugby, but hearing me come in and share the jokes, pick them up. And even with my Afrikaans book called Tamati Strat, I'm just going to grab it fell down. You know, when I went into the Lions, I learned something in Afrikaans. I said to them, I learned that when an Afrikaner is in trouble, you say that he landed in Tamati Strat. Jy het in Tamati Strat beland. I said, but moenie bekommer wees nie, omdat ons Indier mense ons hou baie van tamaties om curry te maak. So wacht daar in Tamati Strat. Ek sal jou kom haal en 'n paar tamaties hees toe vat om curry te maak. So, you know, and this is what I speak about in the new book, Dwayne, as well. It's about being comfortable with who you are. You know, obviously, with some of the jokes that I make, there are some Indian people, some other people, they get upset and they say, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, mate, I'm okay with it. I love curry. Curry is who I am. It's part of my culture. But I'm also, you know, a South African. And that's the best part of it, that as South Africans, you know, we can laugh at ourselves and be at ease with that. You know, I said this to Victor Matfield. He was advertising for this skin product. And his catch line was, I'm comfortable in my own skin. And I said, hey, Vic, I'm going to use that in my motivation. And I've been using it. And that's one of the lines that I use in this new book, about being comfortable in your own skin. Because, you know, Dwayne, you know, you're in media and you see what's happening around the world. People are being bombarded with images, bombarded with messages to be someone that they're not. And in the new book, the opening line is a quote from Oscar Wilde, who says, be yourself because everyone else is taken. And that's the key thing. You know, I could only find myself in Christ. It was only coming to Christ. It was only in Jesus that I found myself, that I could be at peace. I could be at rest with being an Indian in South Africa and now living in New Zealand. You know, so the thing is, we need to know not so much just who we are, but whose we are. And we belong to the Most High God. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my foundation. No matter where I am in the world, no matter where, what I do, and I have that assurance. And you know, Dwayne, nothing can separate us from the love of God.
So, I love it when you say, who am I? Who am I? I recently read a book, and this is actually so beautiful. Afrika Mohlape is Sian South Africa, international speaker. And Africa said, we must be very careful in South Africa to justify all of our actions and blame it on our culture. He said it becomes convenient for us to blame our culture. And he said something so profound. He said, one is born into race, but culture is a choice. And being a true follower and believer of Jesus Christ is a culture. And you've got the decision to say, listen, I am in this culture. And then the question comes, but then no one will love me. And then it goes further. This is so beautiful. I just want to share this with you, Mom. It says, who you are is irrelevant because you are loved by the King of Kings. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I just completed a master's that I went to New Zealand to get, and my topic was on racism. Is it Christianity or science that justifies racism? And you'd be happy to know that true Christianity and true science does not support racism. Racism is a social construct. And even the word race, do you know the word race doesn't appear in the Bible? Mm. So in God's eyes, there's no such thing as race. Because we're all one race. We're all the human race.
Sure.
The closest that the Bible comes to the word race is the Greek word ethnos. And ethnos speaks about your dialect, your language, your culture. That's what comes. And therefore, you know, I always highlight and I say that, you know, we appreciate who we are and who God has created us to be, having different cultures. Because how bland the world would be if we all ate mash and bangers. I mean, if there's no curry in the world, how bland the world would have been, you know? And the thing is, we need to appreciate that when the culture that we're born into is not in line with the Bible, that's where the Bible needs to supersede that.
Sure.
So we don't discount, we don't throw out people's culture, but we need to make sure that it does not override the Bible.
Mm.
And that's where, you know, the Bible, Jesus says, and that's the verse that got me when that Maori lecturer, when I said Afrikaans is an evil language, he opened up the Bible and he read and he said, elke knie sal beeg and elke tong geteeg. You know, when you look at that word tongue as well, that's culture. Your language is your culture. That's who you are. And, you know, when I go to India, the last time I was in India, you know, I was laughing because I was with my wife, and my wife, Jolene, was like, what's so funny? And I said, Jolene, I just got the revelation that there's 1.2 billion Indians in India, and we're one of those Indians. But I can guarantee you, I think I'm the only Indian amongst that 1.2 billion Indians that can read and write and speak Afrikaans, you know. and that's where, you know, again, we've got to be comfortable in who God has created us to be. And that's my message. You know, when I go to high school, when I go to schools, I always share with kids, you know, that if you don't know who you are, somebody is going to tell you who you're not.
Sure.
And that's the difference.
Sure.
And it's only knowing the Bible. You know, Dwayne, I grew up thinking that Jesus was the white man's God because that's what we were brought up to believe. Because in the apartheid government portrayed to us a racist Jesus. And that's why my forefathers said, hey, why do you want to be a Christian? Because in the Christian heaven, there's going to be black separate, white separate, Indian separate, colored separate. That's how we talk. But when I met the resurrected Jesus Christ, when I became a born-again Christian, when the power of God filled me, I knew that I knew that I knew that this God loved me. As you said, he loved me unconditionally for who I am. And, you know, he loved me where I was, but he journeyed with me to get the world out of me and to get all the muck out of me. And that's where I say, you know, we never finish product while we're on earth, but we're striving, as Paul said, Philippians 3:13, you're involved in sports ministry like myself. And, you know, that's a popular verse, Philippians 3:13. We stretch out, we press forward to the upward call and the prize in Christ Jesus. And that's how we are doing. You know, we're searching, we're seeking to be the best version of ourselves that we can be in Christ, not in the world, but in Christ. And that's the message that I've conveyed, you know, through the books that I've written, and especially in this book, Van Burgersmarkt tot Burgerskap, because the subtitle is Die Suche nach Identität. And knowing that you're only comfortable in your own skin when you know that God approves you. God created you in his image and in his likeness. And that's the assurance that causes us to stop, you know, striving in the world, stops us trying to get into heaven by works, because God has not created us to be people that work our way into heaven. I mean, that's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price once and for all. So yeah, Dwayne, I'm excited. Looking forward to coming back. Hopefully I can get the book finished by the time I get to South Africa so I can launch it there. If not, I'll have to come back another time. But it's all hands to the plow trying to get it done.
Well, that is probably one of the most profound, amazing things I've ever heard. I probably have heard it somewhere before, but I myself is busy writing on something now, and that is something that caught up with me, what you just said. You said, if you don't know who you are, someone will tell you who you're not. Yo. That drives a hard nail. Anyway, brother, you're coming to South Africa, and we want to use this opportunity as well, not only to market the book and your tour back to South Africa for the few days that we are, but we want to also reach out to schools, to companies. We want to reach out to churches. Your schedule isn't full yet. And as far as I know, you are willing to do back-to-back sessions to get the word of God out there. You talk to staff members, you talk to sports teams, you talk to school children. You literally talk to just about everyone, especially about negativity over to positivity. Is that invitation open for anyone listening right now to get a hold of you guys so they can book you to go visit them?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dwayne. You know, I like to adopt I call it the South African taxi mentality. There's always space for one more. We'll make space for one more. So if you want me to speak at your school, your business, your sports team, your church, Dwayne, I think the easiest contact would be to get them to contact you. And, you know, you can always forward that on and I'll make you my agent. How's that there? I'll make you the agent.
Yeah, we'll just talk off. We'll just talk off air about the percentage commission or something like that.
Lovely.
I'm just joking. Sure. Listen, guys, it's very easy. The majority of you listening to us, you can either at the bottom of this Facebook video, because this is on Facebook right now, you can either just go write your details. We'll get a hold of you. A lady by the name of Genevieve, she's my secretary. She runs all our PR work. She'll phone you on behalf of my brother, and we'll make sure that he come visits you. Or alternatively, just send me a mail. Easy. The word sport at radiopulpit.co.za, and I'll ensure that we get that mailed over to my friend. Well, I don't have to because apparently I'm his agent. So just get a hold of me and I'll make it happen for you.
And the way you're talking there, I'm surprised. You're wanting commission. I don't know if you've got any Indian blood in your group.
I could buy an Indian. You won't believe it, but some of my best friends are Indian. So I've actually.
Oh, there you go. So you're learning.
Yeah, but they think they're only my friends because I like them. It's actually just because the lady does superb bunny chows and biryani.
Well, you know, that's what I've got on my cover there. I've got the bunny chow. We spoke about it. And I'm saying that's the rechte curry birka. So maybe when I come down, maybe you can take me to this place. I'm looking forward to having a rechte Durban bunny chow. So, yeah, that could be a good time.
Well, maybe we can definitely hook up something like that. I'll actually phone them and I'll say, listen, I've got a guy all the way from Durban. And he wants a real bunny chow. I'll organize that for us. Let's make it a date.
Is that Pretoria? Are they in Pretoria?
I'm in Pretoria. I'm right in Centurion.
Okay, because, talking about Pretoria, you know, God's really got I've got a special place in my heart for Pretoria, the Hoofstad. Because when I came back in 2011 after writing this Boyke's book, Pierce Peace, I was invited. I came on a holiday. I didn't come back to live in South Africa. And Piers Wurm, my good friend, Davi Spies, he said to me, hey, you got to meet my friend. And he's at Tucky's, and you got to go in and have a chat with him and have a coffee and all of that. And I'm like, Wurm, you've heard what? Ons is on Durban, man. Ons only om here to play in Pretoria for too long. Ons only pan hierdie plek nie, man. Ons moet na Durban gaan. And he said, but please just go have a coffee. So after Piers' book, Bekend Stelling, I go to Tucky's. And, you know, as a good husband, if you want to make your wife happy, you leave her at the mall. So I left Jolene and the kids at the Brooklyn Mall. That's the nearest mall to Tucky's. And I went to have coffee with this gentleman. And we started talking rugby. And you know, he was a big fan of the All Blacks. And because he knew that I'd written Vainga Tuigumala's book. And by the way, Inga the Winger passed away this year, February. So we got talking. And then he started asking me about my academic background. Because, you know, it was a docent, a lecturer in New Zealand. I've worked in the academic field. And long story short, Dwayne, coming back on holiday at the end of 2011, December, I get offered a job at the University of Pretoria. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, I'm here on holiday. You know, because I knew there's no way that my wife was going to come back to South Africa. Having lived in New Zealand for almost 12 years, I said to him, okay, Wurm, thank you. But, you know, I've got to check with my wife because I knew she was going to say no. And yeah, I'm driving back to the Brooklyn Mall. And, you know, just to share with you, when I wrote this book, Born a Hindu, Die a Hindu, I found out for the first time in the year 2010 that my first ancestors to come to Durban in 1860 worked on a sugar farm called Muckleneuk Sugar Farm in Durban.
Muckleneuk, yeah.
And here am I now driving back to the Brooklyn Mall, and I'm saying, God, what do I do? Do I come back to South Africa? Do I stay in New Zealand? You tell me, Lord, what do I do? And immediately I drive past this road sign saying New Muckleneuk. Now, you live in Pretoria. You know, I'm not making this up. New Muckleneuk. Bro, it was snot and trana. I was covered in tears and snot. It was an absolute Holy Spirit, Heilige Geest moment. And I'm saying, God, what's happened to me? And that's when, you know, the Lord laid on my heart and he said, I sent your first forefathers to South Africa in 1860 from India for a new beginning to a Muckleneuk. Now I send you and your family to New Zealand for almost 12 years for two reasons. To learn rugby, to love and appreciate Afrikaans, so that I can send you terug na Suid-Afrika as a seendeling specific for my Afrikaner volk om hulle te herinner. That I is not klaar met hulle nie, and the beste lê nog voor. And that's the message that God gave me, that he's sending me back to South Africa to a new Muckleneuk for a new beginning in 2011 or 2012. And I said, okay, God, if it's you, then you're going to talk to my wife because I don't think she's going to agree. And, you know, Dwayne, the amazing thing is when I got to the Brooklyn Mall, the kids were at their favorite restaurant, which actually became their favorite restaurant after that, the Spur. You can't be South African and not love the Spur. And I go there, and my wife, Jolene, asked me, she says, how did the interview go? I said, Jolene, you won't believe it. The guy offered me a job. Dwayne, literally, my wife replies and she says, I hope you took the joke.
Oh, wow.
What did you say? And she says, yeah, because, you know, I really feel that it's time for us to return. And, you know, 2012 was the start, I believe, of an absolute magnificent journey. At the end of 2012, in November, I was a guest speaker at Leven de Boer Brumeria. There was a mana aunt. It was een van die gastsprekers. And my favorite Afrikaans song, I got to meet the person that sang it, Juanita Duplessis. Lig jou hande na boe, sing hallelujah. And she was one of the guest speakers. But also, one of the other guest speakers was Johan Akkerman. And in the speaker's lounge, after I shared my journey of working with the All Blacks, that, you know, I said that, you know, as an Indian in South Africa, I wasn't regarded as black. I was regarded as half black. But having lived in New Zealand for 14 years, I'm now all black. And, you know, he came up to me and he says, hey, you know, I'm the head coach of the Lions. I've just taken over the role. Please, we need help. We need to motivate the guys. They're down and out. We're relegated. You know, we've lost sponsors. We're not in a good space. And that's how I started with the Lions. And, you know, three words that God gave me, I went to the Lions and I shared with them. And that became the English version of this book, Making Sense of Nonsense. Rejection, direction, resurrection. It also rhymes in Afrikaans. Verwerpen, richting en opstanding. Vanuit ons grootste verwerpen, die Here gee vir ons ons grootste richting. En as ons gehoorsaam is om daai richting te volg, gee die Here vir ons ons opstanding. You know, so rejection, direction, resurrection. From our greatest rejection, God gives us our biggest direction. And if we are obedient to follow it, it leads to our resurrection. And for me, I look at it, you know, from the rejection of being held up at gunpoint in Durban in 2000, came the direction to go to New Zealand. And in New Zealand, following this direction, my heart changes positively towards Afrikaans, towards rugby, and then begins the resurrection coming up. And that's when I said to the Lions, I said, you know what? This has happened for a reason, being relegated. I said, because, you know, Johannesburg, all around the world, is known for not nice reasons, the murder capital of the world. I said, but how about we change Johannesburg to be known for something more positive? You know, when the Lions got back to Super Rugby, the posters all around Johannesburg were Lammers Near Maar Leeuws van God.
Oh.
Because that was a talk that I gave at the Moreletter Church in 2013. I think that's a record as well. The first time an Indian was a guest speaker at the conference. And if you're a Bulls supporter, you don't want to listen to this, because that day in 2013, the Lions were playing the Bulls in the Currie Cup. And the Lions came with me to the Moreletter Church in August 2013, and they were there with me. I called them up, and Johan Akkerman, Willy Brits, Dion van Rensburg chatted. And that year, that afternoon, they played the Bulls in Loftus, and they beat the Bulls. I think it was 62-12 or something like that. And the next morning, Dominie Bram Fobla, ek gaan binne die kerk in die toonbank, en hy skree van die ander kant, Bayern, dis die laaste tyd ons bid vir die leeuws in hierdie kerk. but then he said to me, maar Buta, jy weet wat, dit was so mooie getuienis, dat die leeuwspelers was in die kerk, en hulle het so goed gespeel. And, I mean, even Frans Lurke, my good friend, he was the coach of the Bulls at the time, and he phoned me the Monday. I went and had a coffee with him, and Slap Chips was the backline coach. And they even said there was something special. And that's what it was. You know, God was able to receive the glory. And that's what I appreciate, you know, with Johan Akkerman, Sways the Brain, and the doors that they opened for me at the Lions to come in and to be unashamed as a Christian and to lay the foundation of the boys and saying, hey, you know what? As much as you guys are rugby players, rugby is not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. And that's important. And when we laid that foundation, Dwayne, when we laid that foundation, you know, 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul says, let no man lay any other foundation than that which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. When you build your life on Jesus Christ, when you build your life on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, you will always stand. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 7, he speaks about the wise man and the foolish man, and you know, if you build on the sand, it's going to fall away. It's going to fade away. But if you build on the rock, it'll stand. And that's where, you know, that Lions team God allowed us. We had the privilege to go in there, and I was so blessed. And that's it, Dwayne. You know, I really look back at that time, and you know, you can see God's hand, and the players will attest to that. The coaches will attest to that. And it was a time when, you know, the Lions played for God to glorify His name, and everything was about that. I mean, that's where, you know, I asked the question to lay that foundation and to get the identity on the right footing was, why do you play rugby? What is it about playing rugby? And, you know, most of the players said, we play rugby to glorify God, to use our talents for Him. Mm. So we said, well, you know, what has changed? You're relegated, but you can still play. You know, you may be out of Super Rugby. I told him, but, you know, God has sent me here to show you guys that you don't have to play in Super Rugby to be a super team. As long as you play for the Lord, that's the key thing. And that's where, you know, I was used by the Lord to change the negative attitude, the negative outlook, and get the players, firstly, on the right relationship with Jesus. And then from there, you know, it just took off. And praise God, you know, the Lions got back into Super Rugby, you know, went on again then to be the leading team in Super Rugby, winning the South African Conference many years, and then finishing up runners-up, I think it was 2016, 17, and 18 in the Super Rugby. I always joke in New Zealand and I say, hey, three finals equals a trophy. So, you know, that's good enough for me.
And the way you guys, you Indians from Durban, the way you reason, you do the same with money.
I'm telling you, man. You know, I mean, I always say that. Then I joke with it. You know, my line that I joke with is that I said to Johan Ackerman, I said, hey, what number are you going to give me? What position you think I can play? And he says, well, met so groot a bek, jy moet 'n scrum skakel wees. So I say, so what number is my trade? And he said, number 9. I said, nee, ek is die Miro. Jy kan nie my number 9 gee vir my. Jy moet my number 899. This is 'n goeie afslag, you know? So that's my line, and that's what I said there at the annual conference. So, yeah, that's what I say. Being comfortable in your own skin, brother. You know, Paul said it. 1 Corinthians 9:22. He said, I become all things to all men to win them to Christ. And that's what it's all about. You know, yes, I'm used in sport, in the business world, in schools and everywhere. But at the end of the day, you know, I always say that, you know, if I've got the measles, I can't give you the mumps. If I've got Jesus, that's what you get. And that's what we carry with us, Dwayne. We carry that fragrance of the Lord. We carry that, you know, the Spirit of God wherever we go, the light. Yeah, you know, we may be in dark times with load shedding and all of that, but the light of Jesus in our hearts can never be extinguished. And that's what I love about South Africa is that, you know, we've been through the mud, we've been through tough times. We're still in tough times, but we can always have that joy of the Lord in our heart. And every time I come back, you know, it's a real, real surreal moment. I look forward to it. And look at how God's changed my heart. You know, I say that Afrikaans was the taal from the oppressor. The rugby was the sport from the oppressor. But, you know, my best friends, some of my best friends are my white Afrikaner brothers. And, you know, I get crucified for it in social media by my own Indian people, you know, black people calling me a Witman's a booty, a Witman's a boy. You know, it doesn't faze me because at the end of the day, it's not about taking sides with people. It's about being on God's side. And that's the main thing. And that's why I say to people, no matter what your culture is, no matter what background you come from, when you put Jesus culture in your life, when you put the kingdom of God culture in your life, whoever you are, wherever you are, you can get on with everyone. Because when you're comfortable in your own skin, then you'll be comfortable with other people's skin as well. And that's the key thing. You know, I remembered hearing a sermon and it says, you know, racism is not a skin issue. It's a sin issue. Mm. And that's what we got to be able to see. We got to be able to see past all of that, Dwayne, to know that the devil wants to divide us. The devil wants to destroy us because of our skin color. And whether it was in the apartheid days or even now, I mean, to be brutally honest with you, when my family and I came back to South Africa in 2012, we never experienced any racism from white people. Au contraire, the racism was from the other side. And that's where people speak about, and I speak about it in my master's thesis. I speak about the term reverse racism. Excuse me, racism is racism. There's no such thing as reverse racism. And that's where, you know, we got to be able to call it out. and say that that's not right, irrespective of what's happened to you in the past or whatever. You know, we don't take the violin out and start playing it. I mean, my messages and the gospel teaches me that, you know, you forgive and that's it. You move on. You don't go back to the past and recall the past. And that's the power of the gospel, because this is where I know, and I say it in the master's thesis, at the end of the book, at the end of the thesis, I had to put a conclusion. And in the conclusion, based on evidence, I say that the only philosophy, the only religion, if you want to call it, that can really bring unity in the world is not Hinduism, because Hinduism speaks about the caste system. That's so divisive. It's not Buddhism, because Buddhism holds to the same values as Hinduism. It's not Islam. It's only Christianity that can bring us together, because true Christianity looks at the heart. I mean, David, when he was anointed to be the king, you read it. You know, in 1 Samuel 16, the prophet Jesse, the prophet Samuel goes to Jesse's house. And all he's told is that my king will be one of the sons of Jesse. And Samuel goes there and he looks in the natural. He thinks as a person. And he goes to the big son and he says, surely this guy must be the king. And the Lord rebukes him and he says, no, not him. Then he goes to the second son, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. And the Lord says, no. And at that time, the prophet Samuel is beside himself. And he says, Jesse, do you have any more sons? And Jesse says, yeah, I got a lighty. He's a clay nomad. He's there with the scarper. He's looking after the sheep. And then Jesse said, well, go call him. And the moment David comes in the presence of the prophet Samuel, that's when the Lord gives him another paksla and says, you see, Samuel, I, the Lord, do not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, look at the heart.
Cool.
And that's the difference doing. When we can get past the outward appearance of people and we can start looking as God looks at the heart of people. I mean, Martin Luther King said it, that we must no longer judge a person based on the color of their skin, but the character of the person. And that's what the heart is. You know, I like to say the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart.
Sure.
And therefore, we need to know that as kingdom citizens, there's only one kingdom we're part of. And that is, you know, Jesus' kingdom. And as such, you're my brother. We're all brothers in Christ. And therefore, we should not be people that hold on to that race card, that division card, you know, and all of that. And that's my message. You know, that's what I go around and I share. And that's why God's opened up doors for me all over the world. And in Afrikaans churches, I mean, you're listening to, I think, the only Indian in the world that has been a guest speaker at a Gelofte Fees. Not once, but twice in Kroonstad and Secunda. You know, the first time I preached in England was in 2009. And that was in an Afrikaans gemeente in London, bro, the home of English. England, I preached the first time in the Yemelse Tal. I mean, that is part of my testimony, that my former oppressor language, God is using and using it for his glory. And that's my encouragement, Dwayne. That's what I do when I go to schools and businesses and wherever, is to encourage people that God looks at your heart. And that is only through Jesus Christ. Amen, brother.
Can I just tell you something for me? Where I have the world's respect for you. I think off air we spoke about a lot of people is really flocking to down under, to Australia and to New Zealand, and for a better life and for this and for this and for this. A lot of people run away from South Africa due to crime and politics and all of those things. But those countries, New Zealand and Australia, they're very woke from a religion point of view, and for a Christian to remain standing in those countries, it's really a daunting challenge. Despite the fact that action speaks louder than words, I can hear, I know a tree by its fruit. I can see that Jesus Christ is manifesting in your life, and I can hear it. I think the listeners can agree with me. But what is these amazing big challenges that the South Africans are facing in these down under countries, especially if it comes to religion?
Well, you know, that's exactly what, you know, the message, the topic that the Dumini in Auckland shared with me. Because he said to me, you know, what do you have in your heart to speak to the mana at that mana on page in June this year? And I said to him, well, Dumini, you know what? What the Lord laid on my heart is that I see so many, you know, South Africans that come out of South Africa, in New Zealand and in Australia, And sadly, you know, wanting to put the past behind. Yeah, you know, we may not have had the best of pasts in South Africa, but the good thing about South Africa is our faith in Jesus Christ. The fact that we go to church, we fellowship with other Christians, you know, we're not ashamed of the Bible. These are things that we must never forget. And he agreed with me 100% because as a Dumini, as a pastor in New Zealand, he sees it. He sees how, you know, South Africans come out of South Africa and they just get menged in with the culture in New Zealand and in Australia, where people don't go to church. Like you said, yes, there may be freedoms here, but I think the biggest freedom that people don't have is the ability to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and to fellowship with God. I mean, I'm a pastor of a church here. And you know, I'm in a rural town and all of that, but I mean, to get, you know, 40, 50 people on a Sunday, that's a big thing. That's excellent. And in South Africa, you know, we have hundreds and hundreds of people that will go to church praising the Lord because we have that privilege and honor. So that's where, when I was sharing my testimony in New Zealand at the Mana On Bed, I said, hey, you know, I lost my job, my business in South Africa, but I didn't lose my identity in Christ. I realized that my burger's cup was with Christ. My burger's cup was in the Himmel. Van my eerste werk van Burger King, van burger's cup. And that's when I said, wow, that's the title of my next book, Van Burgers Mark tot Burgers Cup. That, more importantly, it doesn't matter where you in this world, Dwayne. South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Timbuktu. Your citizenship is in heaven and it is secure in Christ, my brother. So that's what it is, Dwayne, that as South Africans coming out of the country, you know, we have a strong foundation in God and we should never, ever lose that, no matter where we go in the world.
Well, my brother, in conclusion, I'm going to take you up on that offer when you arrive here. I think we're definitely going to have a live session in studio. Definitely going to have a bunny chow, maybe working the session at my school. But just to wrap this up, you're coming back to South Africa. For those who only tuned in right now, where will you be? Who do you want to talk to? What is the tour all about? Just in conclusion.
Well, I'm hoping to be able to launch this new book, Van Burgers Mark tot Burgers Cup, Die Sukkona Identiteit. I'm hoping to launch it by then. But the key thing is, you know, to come back and to make sure I keep the connections with the churches and the schools and the businesses that God has allowed me to build relationships with them and to keep that going strong. So, you know, I'm open while I'm there from the 8th of September to the 21st of September. I'm prepared to be available to talk at your school, at your business, at your church. I've only got 2 Sundays that I'm there. So even if it's during the week, if you're going to put together a mana on bait, a mana aunt or whatever, hey, I'm there. Like I said, my philosophy is like a South African taxi. There's always room for one more, bro. There's always space for one more. So, yeah, I'd love to be able to do that. And Dwayne, you know, I'm not someone that chases after money. So I'm happy to work in with people's budgets, you know, so don't be put off and think, oh, this guy's worked with the All Blacks or big name people that will be too expensive. No, I'm an affordable Indian. I know it sounds difficult to put that together in one sentence, but yeah, I will make a price. I will make a price for you. That sounds very Indian. Yeah, I'll make a price for you. There you go.
And it's not number 9, it's $8.99.
I need to get my jersey. Yo, Nakaman, they owe me my jersey, $8.99.
I'm gonna send you on a message and say, you must do a jersey for you, $8.99. All right, so guys, if you want to get a hold of mine, please, you can send me a email, sport@radiopulpit.co.za of Afrikaans, sport by radiokansel.co.za. En ons kyk waar ons jou kan help in daai week. What Mayan he is. I'm excited. I don't know for what, for having you in studio and live recording with you or bunny chowing. I think bunny chow is the way to go.
Well, that's it. That's the way to a man's heart, through his tummy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm busy with a marriage seminar right now, and I bet the difference, a way to a man's heart is something else. But anyway, that's a topic for another time.
You can't discuss that on air, bro.
Now I can. I just have the wrong guest. Yeah, you the sport guy. I need someone else like Greta Viet or something for that topic. my brother, it's just been amazing spending time with you. Can't wait to see you again. On behalf of Radio Pool, but thank you for opening your time, your schedule to spend time with us. And if you are listening to us right now and you would like to listen to this again, please remember the rebroadcasts going out during the week, as well as go to www.radiopulpit.co.za. And the podcast will be there live Tuesday morning. So you can go get it there, distribute it far and wide. And once again, for more details, send me an email, sport@radiopulpit.co.za. My brother, it's been a privilege spending time with you, and I can't wait to see you.
No, brilliant. And again, yeah, a big shout out and a thank you to Radio Pulpit. You know, they've always been a big supporter of what God has been doing in my life. So thank you, Radio Pulpit. And God bless you guys. And remember, I'm also on Chesuch's book. So if you can give me a follow and a tag on that post they're doing, I'd appreciate it.
Luister, nee, you had a lot of Indian jokes. Laat ek gou vir jou 'n boertjie joke gee, okay? Ek doen nie, ek is 'n boertjie, ek doen nie Facebook nie, maar ek doen wel Facebook.
Mooi, wel ek sien hey bro. Ja, ek sal vir jou, jy geef my 'n bunny chow, so ek sal 'n braai vlees reël daar. Ek het mense daar wat vir my gesê het, hulle het 'n heerlike, smaaklike Suid-Afrikaanse bees. So ek sien net vir daai bees.
Ag, as jy by my kom kuier, sal ek jou kudu en blouwille bees ook laat proe. My boerewors is reg.
Okay, mooi.
guys, it was a privilege spending time with you. And on behalf of me and my brother Mayan, all the way from Australia, blessings, God loves you. In fact, he thinks you're something to die for. Haha, that's beautiful, man. Yeah, that's beautiful. So we'll see each other same time, same place next week. Blessings, guys, and goodbye.